It's Tuesday, 3rd of July, and you're listening to the Game Green Greencast, your guide to the world of gaming news from the past week. I'm your host, Ace, and joining me are Cal. Who's got to get a drink?
Oh, I tell you what, that was bloody warm. Why? So I just went to get a drink.
Perfect. That's what. For God's sake. Cal!
Oh, hello!
Yeah, maybe you should mention this before you go and get a drink. So let's start the podcast.
I thought we had
5 minutes for you.
I thought we had like a couple of minutes.
Puce. Hello. You know I'm not editing that. I'm just leaving it. And Catty.
Hello.
We're back to having actual news to talk about and things to discuss. So, but before we get into that, we'll go with what's everyone been doing this week? Cal.
I've still been continuing up with finishing up my backlog. I've almost finished Assassin's Creed, like going for 100%. I've been dipping back and forth playing this little game called Versus World, which is I'm doing a bit of a preview on. But because it's an FPS competitive multiplayer, there's literally, again, just like the SOS game, no one is playing it. But at least this time, it's got options for bots. And I've got a couple of suggestions for the, hopefully, you never know if the developer reads it, because it's made by one guy, apparently, which is quite good. So kudos to him for his work, because it's actually not that bad. But more recently, I've done a new PC build, which I'm very happy with. I got very lucky. I bought myself, because I was going to go down the route of buying like a brand new i7 and get all this jazz, and it was like nearly a grand, and I was like, I am not going to pay a grand, just full stop. So I was quite lucky. I bought off eBay of all places. I got myself a 6800K and a motherboard to go along with it. So I bought myself some RAM, bought an SSD, a new one, and going for the fun-filled process of redoing all my applications and organizing all my files again, because I've had to do Windows again. All fun and games.
The fun of getting a new hard drive and then having to set your old one as the latest backup one.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, I've still got the other hard, the old Windows hard drive is still on the machine. I've kind of just renamed it as like clear out, because I still need to go through it and get rid of old files on it. So it still has the Windows data on it. But yeah, it's happily churning away. I got myself a one of them all-in-one coolers for the system. I got a Corsair one, and I've never installed one before. I was quite excited to get it installed. And my case is a Be Quiet case, and it's an absolute bugger to install a radiator in it. So the instructions were like, oh, put the fans on the bottom of the radiator and then install it onto the top of the case. And I was like, okay. That leaves literally no space for... Like, it covers up the ports on the motherboard. It was blocking the internal fan. I was like, this doesn't seem right to me. So in the end, I had to look online at a review of my case to see if they had installed an all-in-one cooler, to see how they went about doing it. And what I had to literally do is remove the entire top of the case, showing all where the I/O ports are. And there is space to put fans on top and then the radiator underneath. So I had to go down that route, and it's all hunky-dory. I'm very pleased.
Curious.
Yeah, the manual was no help whatsoever.
But this is why you should always check out online reviews from such great sites such as GameGrid.com.
Which we also do PC parts, and some very good interesting articles on if you want to build your own PC, or you want to learn more about PC, because we have our friendly Dawson, who has his own articles for it as well.
Platinum.
I knew it was one of the guys.
Dawson does monitor reviews.
There we are. Okay, so you've got Platinum for the PC parts, and Dawson for your monitors. How about that? It's all to do with PC gaming.
We also have keyboards and mice, and enough about the site. We'll talk more about it later, I'm sure. But Puce, what have you been up to?
I've not actually been up to that much this week, apart from playing the odd round of PUBG and Fortnite. But I started playing Fantasy Life on the 3DS, which is a game I've always meant to get round to playing, but always put off. And it's a level 5 RPG from 2014, I think, for the 3DS. And it's kind of weird because it's kind of Animal Crossing-y in that you're basically doing mundane tasks, but it's kind of got a leveling system around all the different classes, which are like woodsman and tailor and things like that. So it's a kind of like a non-aggressive RPG, although there is combat if you want that.
So, I've been meaning to check that out. Just I forgot about the whole it existing thing.
Yeah, it's weird. It's been one of those games that's on my backlog that's been there forever, and I just finally decided to just start it up the other night, and I've been quite enjoying it. I'm a few hours in so far. It's kind of got that level 5 charm. The art style is very reminiscent of other stuff level 5 has done, like Professor Layton and the Ni No Kuni games.
Okay, if that's all you can do. We'll move on to Ketty.
I have been playing Basingstoke, which is a top-down stealth game where you have to run away from zombies, basically, in a very fictionalized version of Basingstoke that does... I think, actually, this post-apocalyptic version would probably review better than the real one. I actually really enjoyed my time with Basingstoke. I did finish it, and it took a few hours, but it lasted as long as it needed to. I think any longer, and you're starting to go into tedium of you're just running away from the same enemies over and over again. But the environments were nicely varied, so it kind of made up for that. And I have also been playing The Crew, The Crew 2. Which I have fallen in love with a little bit. That game is way better than it has any right to be. The driving is... It reminds me a lot of the best parts of GTA, where it's just the driving is very arcadey, and there's still a certain amount of realism, but it's very easy to go skidding, it's very easy to do all sorts of tricks and things, but it's all really easy to also control. If you crash into something, unless you go full force headlong into something, the game sort of just lets you bounce off of it and keep on going. There's no like damage or anything to the cars, so you can run into walls as much as you want and nothing will happen. I just really like it. I'm really enjoying. I think I've put about 12 hours into it over the weekend, and I'm going to put a lot more into it because I want to unlock the F1 car.
That will surely be fun driving around. What was it, LA?
I'm not sure it'll be. It's all of America. They've done the same thing they did in the original Crew, where it's they've done a shrunk down version of. I didn't play the original, so I don't actually know how it compares size wise. I'm told it's bigger.
Have you driven from coast to coast?
No, because that sounds really rather that, boring when there's so many things to do on the way.
Takes 34 minutes in The Crew.
It probably takes about... I've flown from sort of from west coast to east coast. I've flown from about a third of the map to the other side of the map, and that took about half an hour. So...
Crikey.
But that's the reason I won't drive from side to side, because it just took so long.
You know there's going to be a race where you have to do that, right?
If there is, I haven't come across it.
Well, we've only played it for 12 hours.
Is there a race? Is there one? Got one of them races? Because I know you can switching between plane, car, and boat. Is there a race? I know, because I played the beta, so it did do an introductory thing where you did the car, and then you did the plane, then you did the boat. But are there other races that has you switch between them on the on course of, say, get from point A to point B, but you do it by a car, then you jump into a boat, and then you jump into a plane? Was it car, plane, all separate?
For the most part, all of that's separate. So the game splits all of the driving stuff into different disciplines. So you're in a car race, you're in a boat race, but there are these, they're basically the story race missions, the story races. So far, there's only been two. The one that you'd have played that's like around New York, I think, and then there was one that was New Orleans down to Florida. That was really fun, and that had you switch between like a street car into a boat into a off-road car. And I think that's the only, that those races in particular are going to be the only place that does that, because they're sort of like the, oh, here's all the best drivers, the best of the best drivers doing the best of the best things.
Okay.
But other than that, honestly, the races are, for me personally, less than 10% of this game. It is so fun to just drive, not necessarily from place to place, just to drive around. I might end up doing coast to coast because it is just so fun to just mess around. But the races themselves, the only reason I'm doing them is because they're the quickest way to... You earn... There's three currencies, which really confuses me, because I thought one of them would be like a premium, but I've not found a way to buy any of it yet. The menu system isn't great, so it might just be that they've hidden it away. But you get... You've got sort of your experience, which is fans, so every time you do a trick, you gain followers. And that's how you sort of progress. So the levels are called... I can't remember what the first one's called, but the second one's famous. Then you've got celebrity and then icon or something like that. And then you've just got your normal money, which you buy cars with. And that's the expensive thing. I just bought a touring car for 2/3 of the money I'd earned up in that 12 hours.
The races like? Because I found some of the AI was a bit of an... Like, it looked like the AI was very precise. Like, none of them made any mistakes, like, going around any corners and all that. Like, I was fucking up quite a few times. But I know, like, it was a bit of an arse to try and get ahead. And then it's the typical case where if you crash or make a mistake once, that's it. You're back into, like, fourth or fifth. And you have to, like, almost waste an entire lap to catch up.
It depends on the race, I've found. So the boat races, there's not really a lot to crash into, but they tend to be pretty it's laser focused on the direction they're going. They don't seem to make mistakes or come off of things unless you really just knock them out of the way. The street races, those cars will crash into everything. They will cut corners and they will make mistakes and crash into... I did one around Vegas, and every single car apart from me piled into this corner because they'd just all gone to do the same, like, same cut. One of them had messed up and just caused a pile up, and it was fantastic to just watch. It was so funny. But there's not that many races. The boat races and the street races are so far the only... Oh, and the bike races, the off-road, they're the only ones I've actually raced against someone else. Everything else has been sort of like time trials, which is good because it's... I mean, there's no... It's a really weird game. There's no multiplayer as far as I can tell. I've not raced against a real person a single time in playing this game. I've bumped into people. There's people just driving around doing stuff, but I've never actually gone up against another person. I think if I had a friend playing it with me, then we could go up against each other. I don't think you just get matched up with randoms, which is good because it means I win every race. And there's also the one of the reasons I've enjoyed driving around so much is there's a camera mode, and the game is spectacular looking. I'm running it on like medium, and it looks so good. Like, they've modeled so much detail into this world that you are going past 130, 140 miles an hour on average. But that detail, if you stop for a second, that detail is still there every single time I've stopped and taken a photo of me doing some random stunt, like jumping over a bridge, I've been able to see all the detail in like the signs and the foliage and stuff, and it's, yeah, the camera mode is spectacular. Though I don't know how I get any of the pictures out of the game. I take the pictures and they're sort of there. I've not found a way of, they don't seem to be like a folder or anything in where the game's installed that just has them. So I don't know if there's like saved somewhere else.
It probably sticks it in your documents.
Oh, actually, yeah, it might do. I'll have a look.
Documents, you play the crew team together.
There's also a video editing mode in it. But I can't get it to work. I can get it to like show me back things I've recently done, but every time I go to push the actual record button, it just goes right way back to the beginning of where it remembers, which is normally about 10 minutes previous. So it records constantly the last sort of 10 minutes of things you've done, and you can go back at any time and mess around with that, take pictures and supposedly take recordings, but I can't get it to... I push the record button and it just starts playing and it doesn't seem to actually record anything. So there we go.
Okay, no Harry Potter?
Oh, yeah, I almost forgot. I have found those files, the pictures. Good, I'll use those for my review.
We need a jingle for Katie's Harry Potter.
No, that makes me sound like I am Harry Potter. Yeah, Harry Potter. We've had progress. I'm really close to the end of year two. We have finally gotten into the cursed vault. I psyched up all my people and then only took one of them because, of course, we've burnt a door down, basically. And then I had a duel with a frozen knight because... Sure. I'm waiting. I had to wait 9 hours before I could go talk to Dumbledore because that's not something you just go immediately talk to Dumbledore about. So I helped some kid find some sweets, and it was kind of cool. But now I've got nothing to do for the next like hour and a half while I wait for Dumbledore.
So why not be in a podcast?
Exactly.
Right. Personally. I played some Elite Dangerous in the middle of last week, I think it was. I haven't played it since January. And I finally stopped fighting the itch to play it and played it for about 3 hours. Wasted an hour on a community goal because turns out you needed to mine, not buy stuff, and didn't realise that. Then I went on a mission to go and scan a building and avoid being shot by some skinners before earning like 2.5 million credits. So not an awful game. Awful session. Other than that, played a bit of Final Fantasy V on the iPad, because that's one of the only Final Fantasies I don't really have many hours in. It's a story I want to experience all the Final Fantasy stories, of course, so figured I'd give that a go while I was feeling poorly. Because I wasn't too well over the weekend. And today I've been playing Persona 4. Because I've been fiddling around my Vita this past weekend, thanks to Hughes pointing out that all of the recent firmwares have been cracked. So install Homebrew, but while fiddling around with all of that stuff, I could see the bubble of Persona 4. You've only played 3 hours. So I played some more hours. Graphically, compared to Persona 5, it's awful. Don't go from Persona 5 to Persona 4.
Yeah, especially the dungeons. The dungeons don't really hold up. They're quite simplistic in comparison.
Yeah, definitely.
Have they ever re-released a Persona game? I mean, like, as a proper remaster?
Not really. They did Persona 3 Portable, which was basically a remaster of Persona 3, but it removed all the exploration stuff and reduced it to sort of visual novel-y click on a location style things. So it's different, and it also added a different protagonist. You could choose a female protagonist, which had a different storyline. But it's for the most part the same game. They just sort of removed the walk around bits and replaced them with a menu, basically. But no, none have actually had a proper full on generational upgrade.
I suppose that with RPGs that size, it is quite difficult.
Yeah, that's why they've reportedly pushed back Final Fantasy VII Remake like 3 years.
They didn't push back. They just did. They announced it and then didn't start making it. That's what happened there.
But from things that are never going to be released to something that's just been released. Or updated, I should say. We've just been talking about Harry Potter's Hogwarts Mystery mobile game. It's just had pets released. Cathy, would you like to tell us more? Do you have any pets?
I don't, because they cost... I'm saving up for a cat. In Hogwarts Mystery, there are two currencies. I feel I say... currency is way too much. There's your gold coins, which, I mean, aside from energy, there's your gold coins, which buy you fucking nothing. And then you've got gems, which buy you everything else. Gems you can purchase with real money. They are your standard affair. You can buy not a lot for a pound or a load for 20 quid. I need to go to the menu that's got the pets in it, which takes 5 minutes.
Apparently you can have an owl, a rat, a cat, or a toad.
Yes. So you've got your cat for 215, your owl for 320, your rat for 160, or your toad for 160. And as far as I'm aware, they earned you energy. So there is an actual use to them in the game. But you can, it seems, have all four if you want to.
And that gives you four times the energy, surely.
Hopefully.
Which presumably takes it up to what the energy regain should be by default.
Yeah, probably. It's a lot. I currently have 173 gems, though I have spent a few trying to spam for... They've been doing a lot of events recently where you can get outfits. And I've just been doing those, and I've been spamming gems on that a little bit, but those are just the free ones. I've seen people complain about how much the pets cost, but at the end of first year I got 100 gems for coming first place in the House Cup. The end of this year I get 125, so it does seem to balance out. They aren't that expensive in the long run, especially considering what they can do.
So you're not tempted to just buy a cheap rat to try it out?
I could do, but I kind of want the cat.
Like, how much are these microtransactions, by the way? The gems? Like, what's the lowest amount you could buy?
You can buy 25 gems for 89p, up to 575 gems for £17.49. And there's two in the middle. £3 one and a £6.51.
So and that works. If you were buying it with real money, that works out between £7 and £10.
I've just scrolled across. There's also a 1500 Gen 1 for £43.50 and a 3125 Gem pack for £86.99.
Which we don't recommend using.
There is no best value banner or anything. Although the really? vault of the vault of gems thing is the shiniest.
That's where they want the whales to buy the £89 one or £79 one, whatever. That's just ridiculous. But it's the same with all other free to play games.
This is the first thing aside from energy, which it doesn't really matter, I don't think, that you can buy with gems that actually affects the gameplay. Up before now, it was just costumes, which don't do anything because if you go into the majority of things you do in this game are classes, and those classes you're always in the school uniform no matter what. So I've been running around in pajamas for the last 2 weeks, but Snape still has only ever seen me in my school uniform. It's made me quite sad. My bright yellow pajamas haven't pleased his day.
So all these events for new costumes that have been going on, and you're not wearing the new costumes?
I got the pajamas, the only new costume I've actually managed to get. It's not even pajamas. They look like pajamas, but it's... I can't remember what they called it, but it's like a jumper and some trousers that look like pajamas I literally own. The event that's on right now is for pajamas, and the costume looks exactly the same. So it's just the trousers come with slippers this time. Oh, the slipper! I'm in Hufflepuff. The slippers are badgers. I actually now really want it.
Right. Well, let's quickly move on to Games Done Quick. Ran recently, the 24th of June to the 1st of July. And they made over $2 million for Doctors With Borders. I mean, without borders. Did anyone tune in to watch?
Yeah, I've watched quite a few individual runs. I haven't really sat and watched a big portion of it like I usually do, but I've caught individual runs that have been quite entertaining, like usual. Quite enjoyed the Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy run of the first game, but I love Crash Bandicoot anyway, so any excuse to watch Crash. And I also really enjoyed watching the Oracle, the Legend of Zelda Oracle speedrun. That's always fun watching people break it with jumping through walls.
I didn't tune into this, but I have recently watched someone speedrunning some of the Kirby games. That was quite entertaining. If you push down and jump at this pixel, you'll fall through the entire level and just be able to fly through it.
Yeah, some of the glitches where like you have to stand in a specific location and do a weird, quirky button combo. It's like, how does somebody figure that out in the first place? But yeah, there's some pretty cool things to see.
I remember one of the first, it wasn't this year, it may have been 2 or 3 years ago, I watched the Batman Arkham City speed run, and the guy, it all started off like a very normal game, and then about 10 minutes in, the guy just goes, okay, yeah, so if you do this, and then just dive, propel yourself up, and then just dive straight down, you cut like 50% of the game out. And he literally just clips through the floor and triggers the Ra's al Ghul section of the game. Everything is just completely skipped. Spoilers for a game that came out like a decade ago. 5 years ago. 5 years ago? I don't know. When did the Arkham games have been around for too long?
I've lost track now. I can't remember when Origins came out. But yeah, a few years ago anyway, regardless.
Arkham City was 2011. Jesus. So I wasn't far off, 6 years ago,
no.
7 years ago. I can do math.
You have that amount of fingers.
Well, I'm using half my hands to push down my push the talk button.
But Shenlu 1 and 2 have I don't know if you call it Shenlu 1 and 2 or Shenlu 1 2 whatever. The remake of Shenlu 1 and 2 has been given a release date. That was earlier today, in fact. It's I closed the wrong thing. So I can't tell you when it's coming.
August the 21st.
August the 21st. Thank you. To Steam, PS4, and Xbox One. I'm surprised they're not porting it to Switch. But they've announced that it's going to be the Xbox version that they're porting, because the textures are better and it has additional features that the Dreamcast version didn't have, such as snapshots system, filters, and texture mip maps to improve anti-aliasing. The good news is that you are going to be able to play all of the emulated arcade games. Probably because it's being published by Sega and all of the arcade games were Sega games.
Yeah, I'm a bit confused why they had to point that out, because you would kind of assume that that would be the case anyway, because they are kind of like a central thing that the Shenmue games are known for, so it's a bit weird that they singled that out, but yeah, it's good to know. I'm most excited about the fact that it's got dual audio. It's got Japanese and English dubs included, which is great, because the English voice acting is worth playing through once because it's hilarious, but then immediately changed to Japanese audio.
Yeah, I wasn't actually aware that Shenmue 2 had English audio, but I did only play it on the Dreamcast.
Yeah, that's right. The Dreamcast version only had Japanese audio with English subtitles. I'm not actually sure if the Xbox version did, or whether they're just referring to the first game when they mentioned that.
No, no, it says a choice of Japanese or English speech in both games. In their little pack.
Oh, yeah, it does. Yeah, it says both games. Yeah. That's interesting.
So I've never played a Shenmue game. They are a touch before my time. In one of the questions it asks, is the game in 4:3 aspect ratio or widescreen? They say that the gameplay is in 16:9, but the cutscenes are letterboxed to their original formats. How cutscene heavy is Shenmue?
There are quite a lot. It's mostly in-engine cutscenes for the most part. I think the intro and outros were FMV originally, but I don't know what they were like on the Xbox versions. They may have changed them there, but yeah, most of the ones in game are in engine.
Okay, so hopefully they'll still benefit from the updated textures and things.
Yeah, hopefully the visuals will carry across. The game itself is kind of like, I would say it's more akin to a graphic adventure, really, apart from it's a free-roaming one. So think of an open-world graphic adventure game, and I guess that's the most accurate thing to compare it with. It's quite QTE-heavy, and there are quite a lot of fighting sections, which are based on Virtua Fighter 3, I think, at the time. A variety of gameplay styles. There's like the infamous forklift racing as well from the first game.
It's always a series that I've been interested in playing but just never got round to. So I think it might be one I might eventually pick up. But they are very story-driven and very, like, you interact, you talk to the people, you go around and you sort of try and live and breathe this world of Shenmue. So, a bit like Yakuza, I suppose. It's another series I need to play as well.
There's an aspect of time management, because you can just spend all day at the pachinko machines, or you can race some forklifts.
Yeah, one of the things at the time that was quite kind of interesting was the game starts at a specific date, but you can actually go past where the game expects you to end and still carry on doing your day-to-day things. And there's weather, the weather patterns, you could toggle it to be accurate to 1986 in Japan at the time, which was a kind of quirky add-on. It's a very quirky thing in general, to be honest. It's like the big draw at the time was the fact that you could interact with nearly everything. It's like nearly every drawer that you can see in cupboard, you can open and inspect everything that was in them, even if it was a shoebox or a bit of paper that was pointless.
I feel I shouldn't play this game in that case, because I'll be there forever.
But yeah, they made a big point about how free roaming it was, and it was up to you to progress through the thing. It's probably a little bit dated in that aspect compared to what we're used to with sort of Bethesda style open world games now, but it's still worth playing. It's still a fun thing.
Right, next news piece. Sorry guys, I put them in the wrong order in my Discord message. Toe Jam and Earl, Back in the Groove, has been given a rough date. I believe we heard about this game last year. It's going to become in fall, so probably quarter four, 2018. If you played Toe Jam, the original two Toe Jam and Earl games on the Mega Drive.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what to think of this, because it's like Toe Jam and Earl is not exactly a series that's kind of on everyone's lips for wanting a new entry, because even the originals were kind of lukewarm at best. They kind of became a cult thing because of the characters, but the games themselves were a bit meh, really.
Yeah, it's never a game that I played more than like 10 minutes off. Apparently there were three games. One was released on the Xbox.
Oh, I totally missed that one.
Yeah, Toe Jam and Earl 3 Mission to Earth. And it was in stunning 3D graphics.
Yeah, I played the first one, which was like that quirky isometric thing where you had to find presents and just strange. And then wasn't the second one a platformer, if I remember right?
I shall use Tower Internet. Yes, it was a side-scrolling platform.
This new one looks a lot like the first game in the sort of the layout. It's an isometric-y style.
Yeah. I assume that's what they mean by Back in the Groove.
Playing on that nostalgia, because most people will probably remember the first game, so that makes some sense.
Yeah, announced in 2015, and it went on. It raised $500,000 on Kickstarter, which was $100,000 more than they wanted.
Who actually owns the rights to the characters then? Is it still Sega, or was it? Is it because Adult Swim was attached?
Apparently, Adult Swim are going to be. No, Adult Swim is no longer tied to the game as publisher. Development is now being handled entirely by Greg Johnson, who created the original.
Okay, so he must have owned rights to the IP then. He must have kept his own rights. That's interesting. That doesn't seem like a very Sega 90s thing to do, so that's quite interesting, actually.
Yeah, I think the main thing that the game was banking on was, Toe Jam. It makes you think, yeah, that's something that's yucky. Ooh, kids are going to love it.
There's nothing wrong with my Toe Jam.
Well, it's kind of like the nostalgia of our past has sort of made its way back, and it's now hitting to a new generation, isn't it? It's like with Crash Bandicoot recently coming out for PC and Xbox.
Well, I mean, Crash Bandicoot was well received and well loved.
Yes, but it seems like they're kind of like, oh, let's see what we can get. What other old games can we from the 80s and the 90s? What could we bring back?
Admittedly, the first Toadjam and Earl did get high 80s, low 90s.
Hmm.
Well, it stood out.
The sequels, not so much.
Yeah, the original stood out on the Mega Drive because at the time there was an awful lot of platformers and things, so it stood out because it was different.
The only thing I can think of for the reason that Sega don't own ToeJam & Earl is because the games never did very well. They never sold very well.
So they just kind of let it lapse, or they weren't that fussed about it in the first place.
And there's not been a new game since that Xbox game in 2002. So, and that was sales did not meet expectations, to quote the Wikipedia page. So I suspect, yeah, Sega just dropped it.
Yeah, thinking about nostalgia, it's interesting actually with the Shenmue 1 and 2 coming out as well. I'll be interested to see how it's received by a modern audience that have never played the originals, because it's one thing playing them with the nostalgia goggles from playing them back in the day, but is it a too simplistic game now compared to what people are used to? And it'll be the same with ToeJam & Earl if it's going back to the original game's kind of stylings. Like, is that enough just to sort of bring it back kind of as it was?
I suspect, just in the same way that people bitched about how difficult the Crash Bandicoot was, you're going to get people bitch about probably the slow pacing of Shenmue or how they don't get it, and you'll have probably some opinion piece talking about how it perhaps changed their life, or why didn't they play this sooner?
The game isn't released for you, it's released for fans of the when they played it originally and sold their Dreamcasts.
Exactly. That's why Shenmue 3 was so successful in its Kickstarter. Is there any word of that actually releasing yet? Is there a release date? I'm not too sure if there's one.
I don't think there's been a release date yet. Everyone's quickly Wikipediaing it.
No, it's still scheduled for next year, but there's no specific date.
Oh yeah, because you remember the video, the little trailer they released, where everyone just looks stunned.
Yeah, there's no facial animation or anything. It looked really stilted.
Yeah. I'm just looking forward to Yakuza coming to PC finally. That's a series that I would very much like to give a go, because I keep hearing so much good things about it. And it's like, whoa, Yakuza's coming to PC.
One more month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you mentioned earlier, that Cal, they are kind of connected, Shenmue and Yakuza, in how they're styled and how they kind of work. It's just Yakuza kind of built on what you did with Shenmue and kind of ran with it, and it's a lot bigger in scope. The Yakuza games are awesome.
Mm. It's Sega as well, isn't it? So it's just keeping with their pedigree. People are getting... they should do a Sonic that's like Yakuza.
Can you imagine a Sonic Yakuza game? That would be interesting.
Right, on to our last news piece. Twitch, if you have an Amazon Prime, you can also get Twitch Prime. And to celebrate Prime Day... presumably coming later this month, he gets free games every day this month. Although on their blog they do say from 2nd of July through to the 17th of July, but some are only available for a few days, others are available for over a week. So I suppose that's true. They include such titles as Metal Slug 3, Manuel Samuel, Deponia Doomsday. Oh, and really good titles such as Tacoma and Cube 2 and Tyranny.
See, I was very pleasantly surprised to see with this. I'm just an Amazon Prime member because next day delivery. But every now and again when I do jump onto Twitch, I spot in the corner a little notification showing my Twitch Prime goodies. And like last time I checked, it was like I had 7. And aside from the obviously the free to play little gifts things, some of the games I've gotten out of it are not that bad. And seeing these free games coming out, the two that stand out to me are Tyranny and Observer. So I've been eyeing Observer for a little while actually.
I watched Psychopathic stream the game, and
it's a scary game, it's
fun to watch. I am not playing that game.
Yeah, it gives me a bit of Outlast. And what was it? Oh, I can't remember what it was called now. There was a horror game with the artist. I can't remember his name. He's a painter. Oh, God, I can't remember now. It's a bit of a horror game where you're a depressed artist and you've sort of lost your wife and child, and you sort of fall into this whole lunacy. Oh, I'll try and remember it now. But it's a bit like that. It looks good.
I'm glad Pillars of Eternity is on there, because I've not gotten around to playing a Pillars game, and the fact is the Definitive Edition is probably quite good. Don't know. I assume that means it's got the DLC and stuff.
I imagine that comes. It means it comes with the White March expansions, which are very good.
Also, Battle Chef Brigade. I've wanted to play that game before. If it's the game, can't be sure that's actually the game I'm thinking that it is. But if it is, then I'm really glad because I've wanted to play that for a while. And I'm just going to double check.
The games are also all DRM-free, which is really good.
Yeah, technically. You need the Twitch app to download them, but after that, you use them.
Yeah, you could just do what you like with them, which is pretty good.
Yeah, Hue is also a pretty cool puzzle platformer where it involves changing the colour of the background to aid you past obstacles. It's a really interesting little game. That's good. That's worth a play if it's something that if you like platformers. All in all, it's a pretty good solid lineup of games, really.
Yeah, I can't see one on there that's a bad game. I mean, Broken Age, people dislike it for reasons, but not because it's a bad game.
But yeah, if you were to play through all of those games, if you were using this as a stepping stone to get a small library of PC games, then just the CRPGs like Tyranny and Pillars of Eternity alone will keep you going for like 60, 70 hours. So there's plenty of game play there across all the games.
Just logged into my account just to check, and you can get Pillars of Eternity, Cube 2, and the Metal Slug 3, and The Last Blade, basically those old school games. You can get them now.
Yes, you can get Pillars of Eternity and Cube 2 until the 4th, and you can get Metal Slug 3, The Last Blade, and Twinkle Star Sprite all month. There's news posts on the site, or should be by the time this goes live, because I wrote it earlier. so you can check out the full list.
Yeah, that SNK trilogy is actually a pretty interesting assortment. Metal Slug 3 is the standout, but Twinkle Star Sprites, if you're into shmups, it's a really cool little cute mop. It's a pretty cool game.
Right, I know that I put a to be decided main topic, but I didn't decide on one. I was trying to think of something to riff off of the free games from Twitch which I'm assuming Prime Day. They don't give a date for Prime Day, but since you get a free game every day until July 17th, I'm assuming that July 17th is Prime Day.
Yeah, I just assume so.
How do you think, since we're halfway through the year, we do a mini Game of the Year discussion on games that we've really enjoyed so far that have come out this year?
Let me guess. Yours is going to be Harry Potter.
It's probably the game where I've played the most this year.
Purely out of spite.
I'm going to say, are you sure that's played or just waited?
Yeah.
Well, what's the difference?
I swear, probably the wait time is far longer than the game time.
I've definitely not played the game for longer than I've played the game, but I've still put quite a lot. I mean, I've been playing it solidly for like since it came out. I don't tend to stick with mobile games this long, so it's obviously doing something I'm interested in.
It's even conditioning you.
Even if it is just me coming to tell you guys what it's about.
It's slowly conditioning you towards buying in-app purchases. That's Warner Brothers' plan all along.
We can do a proper mini Game of the Year next week. That's a very good idea, Catty. Games that have got a 10 out of 10 on GameGrin include Kerbal Space Program Enhanced Edition, Battletech, and Pizza Titan Ultra. Two of those were reviewed by people on this very cast. Pizza Titan Ultra, me, Battletech, Pierce.
Yeah, so we're not biased at all.
So, this is why Pizza Titan Ultra should get Game of the Year.
Didn't I give 10 out of 10 to something?
I may have missed that when it went up, yes.
I don't think I've ever given 10 out of 10 to a game. I mean, the highest I've given is a 9.
You hate games.
I hate them all. I always find an issue with something.
But I honestly couldn't find an issue with Pizza Titan Ultra, so that's why you should totally buy it.
I can't really say I can't really see games that I've played this year that I've enjoyed the most, because I'm still going through the games from last year. But definitely, Assassin's Creed Origins has been my most enjoyable one so far throughout the last year and this year. It's just so much to do, and it's quite relaxing to play as well. And I don't care what people say, I'm looking forward to Odyssey.
Far Lone Sales, I gave that 10 out of 10.
I'll be meaning to check that one out, actually.
That game is really good.
There is a new release that's just come out. Red Faction Remastered.
Yes, that was released today.
And if you were fortunate to buy the original copy for Steam for very cheap, like I did about 2 days ago for like £4, you get a upgrade.
Really?
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. I haven't looked at the Steam list today.
Go to third person category, scroll down. Red Faction Guerrilla Steam Edition.
Red Faction Guerrilla Remastered.
Yeah.
Well, how about that?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, THQ Nordic.
Yeah, that's surprised me.
To be fair, from what I've seen, I was watching a YouTuber play and it didn't look too much different to how I remember Red Faction Guerrilla looking when I played it a couple of years ago, so maybe they don't want to make people buy a game that looks effectively the same as it already did.
Well, to be fair, they have been pretty good with that. It's like when they did the Titan Quest remaster, the anniversary thing, which was basically a bug fix patch, but it kind of bundled the expansion in as well. When they did that, they gave that to people who had put them both on Steam. And I think they've done it with other games as well. So they do seem quite generous like that.
Yeah, THQ did it with, I think, Darksiders 2. If you have Darksiders 2.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, you get the Death Initiative edition for that. What's with THQ in these names, honestly?
it makes them stand out.
Yeah, and if you had the Bioshock, if you had any of the Bioshock versions, they gave you the remastered collection of versions for free as well. Aside from Infinite, because that got no upgrades whatsoever.
Well, back to the game, not looking that different. I remember saying at the time that I was writing the Red Faction Guerrilla Diaries that it still looked pretty good. I couldn't find any graphical updates, mods or anything before I started playing it.
Yeah. I didn't. When I said that it didn't look functionally different, it was just because the style of the game has aged so well. It doesn't look like it's like 5 years old.
Yeah, I also think some of it is because the PC versions of these games were pretty good anyway. It's more of an upgrade for those coming from previous gen versions who played it on the 360 and PS3 and want to get it on the phone
PS4. Red Faction Guerrilla came out in 2009.
That's going back.
That game is nearly 10 years old.
I did play on the Xbox 360.
And THQ Nordic was still updating it at the time I was writing my diaries last year.
From what I've read, the remastered version is essentially like a modernization, like improvements to the textures and 4K support and just additional graphical improvements overall, just to make it a bit more modern. But from what I've read, there's nothing massively overhauled. Like, obviously, the geometry and the environments haven't been, you know, exponentially massively improved, but the game still holds up. And there's very, very few other games out there that have the type of physics and destruction that this game has. And that's what makes it so fun. So it is highly recommended.
I'd argue that Red Faction Guerrilla has the best destruction physics that we've ever seen in a video game. I don't think there's anything that has anything that comes as close to the scale of destruction that we've seen.
The only other games I can think of that have really good destruction is the first Crysis, which was really good for, like, that was just sort of a showcase of dice showing, look how awesome the physics are. Because you've got like micro destruction and things like that. And the Frostbite engine used in Battlefield, like Bad Company 2, for example, was really good. But Red Faction has like all these massively sized towered structures and like pipelines and all the intricate little pieces that can be broken away and smashed apart. It's just fun. And that's what the game needed to be. It's a shame the Armageddon one, the game that came after, was just a bit of a mess.
Yeah, Armageddon was it wasn't a Red Faction game.
It was like, we know you loved all the destruction from the last one, but now we're going to put you in a cave underground, and you can't do much in there, and you have to fight all these weird creatures. But hey, there's a unicorn that shoots out his ass.
Isn't that Borderlands?
Game of the year.
No, it was in Armageddon as well.
Oh, was it? Oh, was it in Guerrilla as well?
No, yeah.
And with that, we've reached the end of our podcast.
With pooping unicorns.
Exactly.
Well, at least we know what the title's going to be.
Yes, indeed. Thank you for joining me, Cal, Puce, and Catty. Make sure you check out GameGrin.com for gaming news, reviews, and articles. You can find us and tweet to us on Twitter at Grincast, and find GameGrin on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Make sure you check out our Twitch stream from 8 p.m. most days. Psychopathic, who usually runs the stream, is going on holiday for a couple of weeks from Thursday, so we'll see how that goes. We'll pop on for a live stream cast next Tuesday. We might be doing a game of Dungeons and Dragons. We'll keep you posted on Twitter. Again, find us at Grincast. And you can find this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and GameGrin.com. While you're at it, game on.